Welcome to Wrestling with the Weasel. The Weasel here coming at you with another hard-hitting episode. As always, we have River on the line. How are we doing today, River?
I'm doing pretty good. Today is a Thursday, and a lot of stuff happened this week. A lot of fun and really awesome things. What do you think about this week generally?
It was a lot of fun from Monday, Wednesday. And then, of course, we have tomorrow, SmackDown, and Sunday, the big match. But AEW, this is going to be a very heavy AEW episode. And I'm excited to talk about it because, I don't know, I think this co-home episode to Revolution actually hyped me up for the pay-per-view. So I'm very excited to talk about that. But before we get to that, let's talk about what happened on Monday, Monday Night Raw. Thoughts on that? I mean, more importantly, thoughts on Bobby Lashley
as the new champion. I mean, you've been saying it for months. You're vindicated.
Finally, right?
They listened to your podcast and they were like, "That makes a lot of good sense." So, Bobby's now the world heavyweight champion, the WWE world heavyweight champion. Or is it? There's no heavyweight in it, right? It's just champion.
No, it's just WWE champion.
Yeah,
and so. He seems like he's the only survivor from that. Well, right now it seems like he's the only survivor for the the wedding angle that they had with him, Lana, and Rusev. And we'll throw in Liv Morgan in there too. It seems like Bobby is the one that came out of that stronger. I mean, of course we have Lana going for the tag team belts, and then we have Rusev. It looks like they were watching Raw because now they're going to unleash a real, well, he's not Rusev anymore, but he's Miro. They're going to unleash a real Miro. I don't know if you caught that little the little promo he delivered. Yeah, the little promo he delivered during this past Dynamite.
Yeah.
Telling them, oh, they're all tired of Miro playing games. Well, they're, yeah. So I think they saw what Bobby did and like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's unleash Miro. But I'm so happy for Bobby. I think he's, makes a lot of sense. He's a legitimate champion. A good way to get the belt off the championship off of Drew and just throw Drew into a feud with Sheamus, because I don't think that true feud is over yet.
You think that's going to take him to WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to have some kind of gimmick match at WrestleMania, maybe like a street fight. It was a really good, freaking stiff match on Monday with Sheamus and Drew.
Yeah.
Really good match.
You saw the part where Sheamus went through the ropes? Like he got caught, he was forcing him into an Irish whip against the ropes, and like somehow the rope went in front of Sheamus's face. You remember that? That was pretty. That goes to show how hard they were going.
they were
red.
That just shows that they were welted up. Yeah, I think that just shows that, you know, Sheamus and Drew don't need the championship to make that feud work. They have, you know, emotion and they have personal. And they go back, you know, it's not just WWE with them. They go back before their time in WWE. They probably were in the wellness center, the performance center together on NXT. What do you call it?
They go way back to their homeland, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, to the homeland. You know, they were always, you know, they had that story of, I don't know. They had that story, you know, when Sheamus first attacked Drew. Drew started crying and saying, all these years of friendship. And so it's really, I'm invested in that feud. No championship needed for that feud. I'm really invested in that feud. I hope they keep it going till Mania because it seems like those two will have a banger at Mania. But the man of the hour, the man of the 3 hours was Bobby. And what did you think? I'm going to ask you, what did you think about them prolonging that match, the title switch? Because, of course, they were supposed to have it at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour, then the 10 o'clock hour, and then finally, the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and then finally at the 9 o'clock hour, they finally had the title switch with Lumberjacks thrown in there. But regardless, what did you think about them prolonging that match?
It made sense, to be honest. For some people who are like, or probably too smart, are probably like, oh, this is going to last until the main event. But it gave Miz just an extra 2 hours with the belt. And unfortunately, it did make him a little bit of a
doofus.
The entire episode. Yeah. I know you had made some predictions last week that we get a more serious Miz. And Miz even delivered promos in the 2 weeks that he was champion about how everyone didn't take him seriously and everyone thought he was a doofus. Well, look at him now. I'm on top like I should be because I'm going to be showing like the world who I've always been is this Miz, and then this Raw back to square one. So when it comes to that, I kind of have to give thumbs down to that. They did the Miz pretty dirty this Raw, but it gave us a different outcome though. It gave us Bobby Lashley, the world champion, and I'm okay with it. You know, if someone has to suffer for it, it's I'm glad it's the Miz for what he did to Otis. So he deserves every single second of Raw, and Bobby Lashley loves it. I've loved Bobby Lashley since he was first in WWE back in 2006 and 2007 when he won the ECW champion. Yep. And one of my favorite moments from when I was watching back then was when Bobby hit the ropes and then just threw himself against the steel cage and he broke it down to land on top of Umaga. That was so awesome. So
good Bobby flashback there. I remember that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And spot, then of spot course of the week for that TV. Week, so you know.
Spot of the career.
And so yeah, I'm glad to see it on him. I've always loved Bobby Lashley. But he did leave the company for a while, and that really did make me sad. But to see him on top is really cool. How do you feel about it?
I love it. What people don't realize is when he was in Impact. When he went to TNA, he was the TNA champion, and guess who was on his side for TNA? It was MVP was his manager during this TNA championship run too. Oh, Cisco.
Now you know why.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So TNA championship was managed by MVP. Of course, they wouldn't. I think he went by Bobby Lashley, but I forgot what MVP went by. I think he actually went by his real name as well. But anyway, that's a little history of what he happened to him after his first WWE run. But I like it. He seems like a legitimate champion, like a big champion. No BS from anybody. That faction works. The stable works. It's a money stable. I'm glad they have all the titles.
He's a CEO.
I'm glad the... Huh?
He's a CEO of
CEO of Pro?
Yeah.
Hurt. Yep. And I'm glad MVP stepped back and is being a manager to these guys, especially coming out with a Kane and all that. That money shot that he took with their belts was just... That was just a money shot with all the championships. So
excellent.
I hope they keep this up. Yeah, I hope they keep this up. I hope he keeps it past Rumble as well. I mean, not Rumble, Mania. I hope he keeps it past Mania.
Yeah, I can't. It's just, it's money. Stocks are up for that business.
When it comes, and who do you think we see him against?
At WrestleMania? Here we go. How about you tell me who you think it's gonna
who I know it's gonna be?
Who you against? Know?
It's not gonna be The Rock, I'll tell you that much. It's none other than this whole championship run is setting up for like probably one of the biggest matches in WWE this year in the past 5 years. It's gonna be the biggest match money. It's not The Rock, it's not Roman, it's Bobby versus Brock. That is money on a marquee. And that it probably has what it takes to headline both nights.
I just headline both nights? Is that what you're telling me right now?
Like headline
on either night. I'm like a two-parter for Brock.
No, they'll probably headline the second night, then be the last match we get out of Mania weekend. That's how confident I am that match will deliver.
I mean, That's a whole lot of meat in that ring when it comes to those two. But I gotta stick to my guns. You know, Roman's taken up for like the Evite for Roman. The Roman matches is already filled up. So I'm saying The Rock's going to come back and be like, he's going to give the rope to Bobby. And he's going to destroy everyone's dreams of The Rock securing the championship and retain at WrestleMania against The Rock. You saw, he sees Instagram. He's training. You see him. He's in shape. He's got it. Trust me.
Do you think he talks about a $7 while delivering?
Exactly, dude. $7. He's promoting his new show, The Young Rock. What time to come back than now? And promote a match with Bobby.
All right. I'll ask you something along the Rock lines later in the show when we get to our AEW predictions. But Raw talk with Bobby. We didn't want to talk too much about Bobby. I mean, about Raw because you know
I have a pretty big issue. What's up with it? You know, so what I don't like is that you know I'm on YouTube. I get most of my stuff from YouTube normally. I listen to music on YouTube, whatever, what have you. And the media around Bobby winning the championship makes him look like a baby face. What's going on here?
I mean, when you're waiting, 16 years to win a championship? Yeah, I agree. But that means they're just setting him up against a heel. The heel isn't going to be
true. The heel's not going to be Sheamus. They're not faces. They're not faces. All right. They are heels. They are still heels. So I don't know why they're not letting Bobby heal it up on media, on social media, being like, damn straight, I'm the champion. None of y'all pulls are ever going to take this away from me. It's mine.
Really? Because you.
But no, they're.
Well, because they're setting up face versus heel.
No, they're not setting up Brock. Brock's not coming back. I'm going to use the same argument you used against me. Not enough people. You need a packed house for Brock to come back.
We'll see, sir. But he came in with an empty arena last year. So, but we are getting one of
that was boys. That was a slotted date. They've been building for that for already like 4 months. Like that had to happen. What are they going to do? Not have Brock wrestle? So,
Your boy's getting a feud finally. Your big boy, Braun Strowman, he's getting a feud against Shane McMahon.
Goodness. I'm happy for Braun to get a feud, but I'm also disgusted that it's with Shawn.
Shawn Michaels? No, Shane.
Shane, yeah, my bad.
Yeah. All right. That's what we're looking like it's going towards maybe some kind of no disqualification.
Probably match. a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, you know Sheamus is out. Then
he's gonna get 40 minutes at WrestleMania. Oh my goodness!
But is he against Braun?
So, yeah, but it's all—it's gonna be all about Shane. Shane can't. He doesn't give anything to Braun. Braun's already a star, so just treat him like a star, and you'll get results. But no, you're gonna give him Shane. Shane's dwindling. He's probably just staying in the company right now, just until Vince keels over and he says he's part of the company since forever or whatever. I don't care about Shane McMahon. I don't want to see him there. He's gonna break his back.
All right, let's talk about stuff that makes you happy.
Okay,
let's talk about AEW Dynamite. Probably one of the best Dynamite episodes I've seen in recent memory. From start to finish, I was hooked onto the show. I didn't even switch to NXT. I have to rewatch NXT. Probably watch it tonight or tomorrow. Because AEW just knocked it out of the park with this take-home show to Revolution. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of skeptical about the whole Revolution, all the gimmick matches they have. But then this episode alone sucked me back in. Starting off with the banger, you know? I mean, they did it smart. They played it smart. They had a Shaq versus Cody match to start Dynamite.
The mixed tag match, right?
There was the mixed tag match. There was no reason why that should have been the number one match, other than to get people glued onto that match from the start. And hopefully they were hoping to keep all those people's eyes on the show throughout the whole
night. But
let's talk about that match.
I'm going to bring it up. You told me you didn't want to see Shaq wrestle and look what you saw.
Did he wrestle though?
He did.
Did he really wrestle?
Oh yeah.
He performed like 3 moves.
Yeah. And took table bump. Yeah. All right. And he sold it. He sold it. They took that dude out in a stretcher in the back of a paramedic, but they couldn't close the door because his feet are too long, so they had to leave the back door open a little bit.
So
you're telling me Shaq didn't wrestle? Let me ask you to think about this.
let me have you think about this real quick. How does that make this company? Well, not this company. How does that make Cody feel when Shaq is the best seller out of that whole match?
It should feel
Cody
should feel like a damn fool.
Yeah, because Cody took a power bomb from the Diesel a jackknife. And he popped right back up. And what'd you say? He body stamped Shaq.
Yeah, he picked up Shaq.
Sell the body bomb a little bit. You know, why aren't you selling that body? But yeah, this, I mean, that's a one off with Shaq. You know, I don't know if Shaq's going to be back. He might be back to wrestle Paul White, but that'll be in the future. But this, it seemed like this match was more towards trying to get Jade to be the superstar. And they did a really good job with that. She looked really damn good with that. And with her performance, for being so green, I guess, being so, because I haven't seen any of her matches. I mean, I don't even know if she had any matches like on indies or anything. She probably had to have some, but for her, that was a good match. And what better way to start off with, you know, the face of AEW again, probably one of the biggest stars in the world, and Shaq, and she killed it. I mean,
yeah.
And Red Velvet was good too, but I think Jade just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when you put Jade next to Red Velvet looked like a cupcake next to her. She's got like 2 feet on her, and she's still under like 5 feet, probably. No, she's probably like 5'10" or something. I don't know. But Jade looked great. She was a little bit green, but I mean, she flexed on everybody for the time they were in there, and you could tell that like she's trying to build that character work, but. She's kind of already there when it comes to like that charisma and look. She needs to get better in the ring a little bit and feel more comfortable. I should say it's not that she's bad. She's not comfortable yet. You know what I mean? Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, she doesn't know what kind of wrestler she wants to be yet. I mean, of course, she's going to have the razzle, the dazzle, the strength, but like, emotional wise, like connecting with the audience. It takes a while to figure that out, and that's what it seems like she's trying to figure out how she could connect with the audience outside of showing her strength and outside of showing the razzle dazzle and all that.
Yeah. And what do you think about her, I would say her commitment to selling that table spot? Because for a while, we were on Jade's face, and I think she did a really good job where she's like, I can't believe what I just saw. And I think she did a good job.
It was so good that the ref even had to tell her, hey, let's beat this up. I don't know if he caught
that. Yeah, he's like, hey.
that the ref was like, hey, we still have a TV time to follow here. Because, and that's the inexperience, but, you know, she sold it really good. She sold it better than what Cody was selling it for. Like I said, Cody wasn't doing any. Like you said, he wasn't doing anyone any favors that whole match.
Not even a Shaq. And I understand Shaq's a celebrity, but
not even a Shaq.
Shaq literally—that's like a 7-foot drop with that power bomb. And you telling me you're gonna get up in like 2 seconds after that? Come on, Cody, come on.
Yeah. Overall, that match was fun. It was fun. Well, Shaq disappeared. But yeah, we'll see.
They wrote him off TV.
They wrote him off TV after his first match. We won't talk about Young Bucks and MJF because, I mean, it was just a little comedy gig. It all seems to be what the Inner Circle is nowadays. It's just comedy. A little seriousness here and there, but that whole thing was all a comedy.
I mean, sketch. The table spots or the double spot at the was end cool. Was pretty. It didn't top the. When Cody yeeted himself into Shaq. That worked so well, fortunately.
The slow motion. Yeah.
So
it was great. It was a great. We had, of course, Death Triangle versus, I don't even know who they were versus, two jobbers.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
But they won, of course. Yeah, they're trying to build them up. I hope Pac gets a singles push going. But let's talk about your boy, Ricky Starks, getting some promo time against the legend, the Icon Sting. What did you think? I know you liked it. You have to have liked it.
Dude.
Seems like $1 million in there.
And like that's all you need to do. What are you, like 4 days away from your pay-per-view? You got a feel of Ricky in it? Give him the microphone. And he's going to give you a reason to watch the whole damn pay-per-view. The whole damn pay-per-view just off his own promo, selling his own match. You're watching the whole thing just for Ricky. Come on. Fire.
And then for him to slap Sting, it's just, whoa.
Perfect, dude.
But, that was a perfect setup for that match. I loved it. What I didn't like, though, is how big of a doofus they made Hodge look. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah.
Hodges?
Yeah.
I mean, why? I mean, it's not a match. You have Ricky Starks and a Scorpion Deathlock. Why don't you just jump in the ring and beat up Sting? Why are you trying to pull out Ricky Starks? I mean, did you catch that? Or am I reading
too much? You're right. When I did see it, I was like, what are you doing? But I think it's pretty much the fact that they don't want to break Sting. Doesn't make sense, but they're also being really careful with Sting.
Okay. I could see that. It's just, if anything, maybe have what's his name? Taz's little son try to pull him out. Have Ricky Hodge go in there, you know, do a little, just like, you know, hit him behind the head.
Or just do a half Nelson. Like, that doesn't, you don't have to hit him, slam him, or anything. You get him a half Nelson, he can't breathe, he lets go of the hold, and then Ricky rolls out and you bail, you know?
But I thought that was kind of
silly. I just think Tony's trying to be real careful with Sting.
Well, we'll see how careful he is on Sunday when they have that. Nyla Rose and Ryu, I can't pronounce her last name. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The finals in the Eliminator Cup, really great match. That's probably the match of the night.
Nyla made Ryu so awesome. Like, Nyla's just
made it legit. Yeah,
we got to give Nyla some credit there. She put in the, I mean, a lot of Nyla's matches are actually really, really good. I'm going to be honest with you. Like,
yeah,
I guess I have a stigma against the big girls because of Nia Jax. But like, Nyla's is the opposite of Nia Jax. She's every time, like, her against Sheeta, her against Rio. Oh my goodness, dude. Like, she does put in the work, and she did a good job. Yeah. Unfortunately, she didn't get the win. I was actually going for Nyla at the end there when Rio unfortunately got eliminated.
I was for that too.
But
I was hoping for a Nyla win too, but there's some history between Sheeta and Ryu. I hope they deliver more on it instead of what Excalibur says on commentary. I think that match needs a vignette of their past, because apparently there is a history.
Yeah, between them. I mean, it'd be in their best interest to play up that history, because you have a 4-day, technically, when it comes to like the match marquee, it's a 4-day feud. You know what I mean? Because it's Sheeta didn't know her opponent till Wednesday, but it's been
and then they're trying to make it work.
So there's also that part.
They're trying to make it work. You know how she there did the little pose with the trophy, and then all of a sudden she hits her. I thought that was like, come on, and she hit her, and then Sheeta hits her back. That's a good little piece of work, but
I mean, that's true.
Sheeta in white is always a good thing, you know. A white suit, that was pretty cool. I like to see Sheeta in a white pantsuit.
Yeah, I hope Sheeta retains, though. Sheeta. I don't want Rio to win. Rio.
No, I have a feeling she will retain. Riho. I have a feeling she will win. The person that's going to beat her, I'm still putting my money on Britt Baker. I have my money on her.
Maybe. Sheeta. Well, yeah, maybe. We'll see. So, what else was there to talk about? There's actually a lot of stuff that happened.
It was really good. We have the Four Horsemen getting again. We have Tully, FTR, and now Sean Spears returning. That was a really cool moment. I'm not happy that Tully got a pin over Luchasaurus. maybe have him get a pin over, you know, Marco or something, but not over Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus is supposed to be the protective big guy. Why are you gonna have Tully pin him? But regardless, they won. And we got Sean Spears back. It seems like we got a Four Horsemen stable. You even have Arn coming out and looking at the group, which was pretty cool. So we'll see how it goes with that. What did you think about that?
That match was pretty fun. Good heel work from Dax and Cash. Yeah. So really good heel work, but I have to say I'm a little bit lost as to why at the end there Arn went out with them. Like, I understand that they were part of the Four Horsemen, right? But why does he need to go out there to do it when you already have two of the four people? You're not going to get all four, unfortunately. But you have two of the four people already. And like, it's because like Arn's technically like a coach face, right? So why is he going out there with those dastardly heels?
Okay, so who are you counting as the four horsemen in those stable? The active roster
four. Yeah, and then they did it with with an incomplete four, right? Like it's hinting to Sean.
So you have one more
FTR.
That's three. You have one more person. Who is Arn's who is
Arn's? So it just seems Arn's, is that what you're Oh
yeah, who do you think
you just cleared up that whole angle for me.
Who do you think Arn is gonna put in that group to help? I mean, we saw Cody. He's the no-sell Cody now. He's becoming arrogant. He's becoming the superstar, the face of AEW.
Did you see?
He has that reality show.
Aside from no-selling, Cody worked that match a heel.
Yes, he's a heel. I think he's turning slowly into a heel. All this extravagant stuff they're doing just for Cody and Brandy. The gender reveal with Pyro. At first, I was like, why the hell do we need a Pyro for Cody? Every time Cody comes out, regardless of what it is, he gets Pyro. It's just his ego, his Ric Flair likeness that he's the best person there. And his ugly tattoo. And of course, Kenny Omega. And of course, Kenny Omega is portraying that character, but I think Cody is going to portray it on the under, like, you know, the underneath the championship. So I think he aligns himself with FTR.
Kenny's doing it, Sean, in the aspect of like natural born talent and greatness. If that makes sense. It's like,
yeah. And Cody is doing it the way Ric Flair did it with a silver spoon.
Yeah. The silver spoons, the silver spoon fed person. Yeah.
Yep. And if you look at it, here is theme song, what it says when it first starts, wrestling has always been in my family. That's silver spoon.
I guess, you know? So I don't, it could be Cody and he turns full-blown heel, because like
tactic heels.
He poked Shaq's eye. They're gonna do a test of strength, and Cody kicked him in the groin area, the stomach, mostly the stomach, and no sold the whole match. So if that's not a full blown heel turn, I don't know what is.
So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm seeing out of that whole group up. And we ending Dynamite with Dark Order with Hangman versus who did they fight? Who did he fight?
Well, also the henchman came out, and was Pac and who else came out? Pac and with Phoenix.
It was basically everybody in the Battle Royal that's coming up. That whole ring filled up, so. They weren't following any guidelines, any CDC guidelines. But anyway, we won't talk about that. So let's jump right into Revolution. The big reason we're here tonight is for Revolution prediction show. We're going to predict who wins. We're going to predict what's going to happen. Before I get into any of the matches, let's do a quick prediction. Who do you think is going to be the big show that, not the big, Paul White, BS? Who do you think is going to be the big Hall of Famer caliber that he is bringing into the company?
Or that they're before signing? I answer that question, I want you to know I really like his shirt because of the wordplay. Because you understand the wordplay, right?
Oh, you know what I got right from it? I'm going to tell you what I got from it. No more BS means no more big scoops.
No, I got no more Big Show. Like, he's no more Big Show.
That's what a lot of people are thinking. But he can, I mean, if he uses, what I liked about it is if he uses his those acronyms, because the first thing he says, you're not the only one with big scoops, BS. If he keeps using those acronyms for different stuff other than the Big Show, I think it's going to work perfect.
Maybe.
I know what people were thinking. Oh, it's Big Show, Big Show. But then when he said big scoops, my first thing that popped in my mind is, his shirt, big scoops, BS.
I think it means many things. It means that he's no longer the Big Show. No more BS, as in the bad word, the word that my mom will slap me in the face for saying. Okay. And maybe now that you've told me this, maybe now it's also no more big scoops. Like, it's a lot of things that works on multiple like levels for him.
Yeah.
And that's why he chose that mm-hmm. slogan.
And it's, what do you call it? It's wordplay, like you said. Like you know something, more big scoops. You know more big scoops. I don't know.
That's what I got.
You see, for me, not everything
is a shot at WWE. If it's also no more BS, anyway. It's a shot at WWE.
But he didn't have a bad falling out. They just couldn't come to terms with the contract. I mean,
he was probably...
He had a match where the WWE Championship against Drew.
He also had 20 really heel turns and 20 face turns in 2011 alone.
He's also a Grand Slam champion, and you know he has a Netflix show that WWE produced for him. They didn't treat him bad. I just think it came down to they couldn't agree on a contract.
Well, we don't know the whole story, for one thing. We're outside the whole situation. Vince stopped talking to me about 3 years ago when I called him dumb. And TK still hasn't returned my text messages.
We're on the very bottom of the totem pole.
So I'm currently on the outside of the industry, unfortunately. I am planning to change that. I think Triple H will follow me back on Instagram pretty soon, but we'll see about that.
Who do you think is gonna be the multi-year?
I don't know the current status of these two, but these are the only two people I could even think about who could add to the program. And one, Sheamus, is he back with WWE? I mean,
Sheamus,
Finley.
Sheamus.
You know, Finley, is he back? Did he get hired again?
I don't know. I haven't done any research on that, but that's actually a good thing to look up because he was actually a very viable person to that women's division.
Yeah, I know. And Finley would be a great man. People would be like, Finley, like they'd be like that, but like he still has a good name and he's a big person knowledge wise for the women's division or the men's division. Doesn't matter. But I think my more viable option, the one that's worth actually building up to, having Big Show debut and hype it up, I think it's going to be the only other person I could think of that's a legend that could add something is Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's the one I was going towards. So I was thinking Kurt Angle as well. He has a show, that new show with Conrad Thompson. Conrad Thompson was on AEW this past week. He's no longer a contract under WWE. So Kurt Angle would be a big one. That's what I'm thinking. Or my other prediction. And this is just them downplaying, you know, them up hyping up their announcement. But my other prediction would probably have to be the likes of either John Cena or The Rock.
John Cena would never. You know that. He's still on
his contract. But I'm just throwing it out there. He has a show coming out on TNT and all that, so I'm thinking that'd be another one. But I'm going towards Kurt Angle as well. But there's only one way to find
out.
Holy
moly. Imagine John Cena shows up, turns heel on AEW. What?
I mean, it can happen.
He's still under contract.
I don't see that happen. I think it's more.
But like, can you imagine John showing up and basically recreating the NWO?
I do see
Kurt. Yeah, I think it's also Kurt Angle.
All right. So let's jump right into these matches then. In no particular order. Okay, let's just start off with the tag team battle royal. You know it's going to be shenanigans. You know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to be a lot of chaos. Who do you think takes that home? We don't know who's in the match yet. I mean, we do know who's in the match. There's just too many names to list. So.
Private party.
Who do you think takes that?
Mm-hmm. Matt Hardy shenanigans.
Okay. All right. Check that down. PP, okay. For me, I'm thinking we get a Thea Trinidad debut with a PNP. After PNP gets eliminated, I think we see her get come out. But in general, I have to say I'm going with the Inner Circle, Johnny Hungy.
That's a good pick. I would go with him, but I think a private party match would be better.
I do think Johnny Hungy becomes a lone survivor.
Ooh, you think he's gonna get put over in this tag royale?
Oh yeah. Okay. We got one down. Okay, let's talk about the other match with multiple participants. The ladder match for the face of the Revolution. And this one, of course, the winner of this match goes against AEW TNT Championship Darby Allin. And this right now we have Lance Archer, Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky, who magically just appeared out of nowhere. Penta. I think it's Penta, right? Penta's in there too. And from this past week, Max Caster from The Acclaimed with his big hit.
Imagine and then we still one more person. The mystery person is John Cena, and they get in a rap battle with Max Cap. Oh my goodness. Oh, I want it to be John Cena more and more and more, but I know he's still under contract with WWE.
There is one more
person. Yes, it's a mystery person. They're not gonna reveal it. The day of.
All right. Well, it's going to be someone big. You know, they always like their debuts in those big matches. It's going to be a tough one. Cody could win on shenanigans, but I don't think it's going to be Cody. I think it's either going to be Lance or Scorpio, but I'm going to lean towards Lance Archer.
John Cena's not on contract. As of last year, he's not been on contract.
But I don't think he'll wrestle. He doesn't have to wrestle. I think he'll just show
up. Well, he's in the match.
If it is him, he will show up. But do you think he would do that? Do you think he would do that, though? Do you actually think John Cena will join
AEW? Why not?
There's nothing for him to lose. He's a TNT. Has a TNT show coming out. There's nothing for him.
He lives and breathes the business.
He's done everything in WWE. Yep. We'll see. I mean, I'm pretty excited, man. Back to your match. Who do you have winning? I have Lance Archer. Yes. I wish it was Scorpio Sky. I want to see Scorpio win it, you know, because they haven't been using Scorpio to his potential. But, I mean, Lance Archer has a lot of momentum going into his match. He just had a cool banger. He's been in a banger of matches recently. He has the mouthpiece in Jake. I mean...
Yeah, seeing Jake do some DDTs a little bit ago was awesome. I'm gonna go with my heart, man. I gotta go with my heart. I'm gonna go fresh off injury, Penta.
I mean, he wasn't really injured. He was more couldn't cross over because of his visa.
But it's still, you know, it's injury.
Okay, it's injury, kayfabe injury. But okay, you're going Penta, I'm going Lance. Either or, I would love for Penta to win. I've missed him on TV.
I mean, it's there. Yeah. He didn't win the Eliminator tournament, you know, because of the injury that he sustained from Ray, and Ray took his spot. And there's stuff there. I don't know. No, I'm going to change it to Lance.
Okay. And I kind of want to see Lance win the championship because I think Darby right now, what he's doing with the championship, I mean, it's like a second fiddle to him. TNT championship turned into a second fiddle in that feud. There's no reason for him to have that championship. That feud with Sting and Darby versus Team Taz why is the championship there? I mean, when it could be defended in other matches.
But that's true. Yes.
We'll get along with that. So I think that feud did not need to have a title involved. If it did, maybe the FCW title, but not a title that other people could be going for. But that's just me being me. Next match. These are in no order. I'm just throwing them out based on the card. I got the two. Okay, let's talk about this one. Miro and Kip versus Orange Cassidy.
It'll be a fun match, to be honest.
It's going to start off the show.
Well, technically, the tag match is going to start off the show. The buy-in? You know the buy-in, right?
Oh, the buy-in. Well, yeah, that's a buy-in with Grit and Reba versus...
Dude, you know how many people are going to buy the matches because Rio shows up, dude? Come on, let's be real. I'm buying it because Rio's going to show up. And she's free. I'm still going to buy it. She's free.
I think, just throwing this out there, I think Britt and Rebel.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But I don't know. That's a former NWA champion and a former AEW Women's Champion. So I think they're going to win. Yeah, I'm going to call that. I'm not going to ever bet against Rio. You crazy?
Okay, I'll throw that. I'll put that here.
Right. And how dare you?
I'm back to Miro and Kip. Back to Miro, Kip.
I'm going to go with my boy Miro. That the promo he delivered, fire. It's been real funny, you know, seeing these past weeks how it's played out. And I just want to see Miro destroy Chuck Taylor. I want to see him destroy Chuck Taylor. not Orange Cassidy. I think he should come out of this kind of protected, but we'll see. But I think it'll be a fun match with fun spots, but it kind of sucks because someone's going to have this match is unfortunately going to lose some steam for somebody. And I think it's going to lose steam for Orange Cassidy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw you another one. I'm going to say that this is going to be a squash match. And I think Miro just wrecks everyone. Turns it into a squash match.
All right. So this is what's going to happen. Miro's going to tear down the Jumbotron. Predicting it right now.
You see, this is why I think it's going to happen. I mean, we're not dumb. You know, TK watches
and our podcast, you know,
what's going on in the other company, and he's seen Bobby and our podcast, of course, and he's seen Bobby win the championship. He knows what kind of storyline they were in, and to see Bobby be the WWE main champion for that company, he wants to compete, and he wants to show people, hey, you know what? I have to treat Miro with the same respect that they're treating Bobby. Because they were in that same crap ass storyline. So I think he unleashes Miro to potential. And I think he's done with video games. I think he's done with arcades. I could even say he's probably going to be done with Kip. And I think he's just going to unleash
the real Miro. They finally had the wedding. So that storyline's kind of naturally fizzling out. When you said he's done with Kip, like they did the whole wedding already. So, like, naturally, their partnership is going to kind of fizzle out. Second of all, I listen to the AEW Unrestricted podcast still. And I remember a little bit ago towards the end, I think Tony Khan went on or something like that. Yeah, Tony Khan had went on and he had discussed Miro. And he had discussed how it played out in their books, what was going to happen. He said that he wanted in every fiber of his being to have him show up and just, you know, push him to the moon, like to show up because he really believed in him and believed in what he used to be. And he wanted to build him up to that. But one, he's explained that WWE pretty much destroyed Miro's stock. And I agree with him. You agree with him, right? Would you agree that WWE destroyed his stock in those last few years? Yeah.
Towards the end.
Yeah. After they destroyed Rusev Day, that was the end of it. So so Vince just used him and abused him. And so he said that one, there it's not the picture of Miro he had in his mind. Is not the Miro he got. So he couldn't push him to the moon currently with the way the storylines were going at that time, which is the end of 2020. And similarly, he had already done that already with Brian Cage earlier in the year. Because Brian Cage showed up, broke ladders in half and exploded. but he can't do the same thing with Miro. That's what he said. Because then it'd just be like, oh, this is the new big guy, you know? So, but he did say he had plans for Miro in 2021. He expressly said that. And so I think now, unfortunately, because Trent got hurt. So the feud lost a little bit of steam, I think, because of it. It was hurt a little bit in the fact that Orange Cassidy had to play a bigger role in the feud earlier, which means he gave up a little bit more. But I think Miro's going to come out of it because of what TK said. That's a long explanation. Sorry.
That's good. Good explanation. So you're saying it's going to be a good match? Well, I'm saying it's going to be a squash.
I think there'll be still fun spots. Orange Cassidy's, I mean, his character is good for fun spots, you know. But I think Miro's going to destroy Chuck Taylor and pin him.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So you think Chuck Taylor takes the pin? Okay. Yeah, same here. I don't think they're ready to
kill
the Orange Cassidy.
A tragedy. It's a tragedy. But sometimes the orange gets squeezed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about the women. No, we'll say the women for one of the last ones because it's a championship match. I don't want to disrespect. Let's talk about Hardy and Paige. Big money match. Basically, whoever wins the match takes home the other person's
quarterly earnings of 2021. Quarter paycheck, one. So
all the earnings.
Monday. Okay. January, February, March.
Two. Yeah. So big money match. At the end of the day, I mean, I think it's going to be a good match. I mean, Hangman Page doesn't seem anywhere near the title picture. I think that changes after this weekend. I think after this week, he's done playing these games. I think he jumps straight into Kenny Omega.
Spoilers for your predictions.
I think Adam Page wins this match. And I think he's, like I said, I think he's done with the whole dark inner circle, not the inner circle, but the dark order. He's done with, Hardy, I think he just needs to focus on becoming the top of the company. And him and Hangman, and him and Kenny, it's a match that needs to happen. Like,
all right. I got I got Paige for the Matt Hardy feud. Paige needs a win. I mean, he wins normally in like tag matches and stuff, but I think he can't lose to Matt Hardy. Even though Matt Hardy's killing it, dude. I love Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Matt Hardy's a good mouthpiece. He's a good manager, but I think he needs to step back and do the MVP role and start managing these champions.
I think what he's doing now is better than what he was doing last year when he came in. I think it's okay that he's wrestling. Because you can still give a lot when you wrestle. And Matt Hardy, I think Matt Hardy intends to do that for Hangman Page. So, and the thing is, it's not like he's like, oh, I'm going to, he and, one of the people from Private Party, I'm blanking on their names, are tagging and getting a tag shot. No, they're still getting tag shots and tag opportunities as a unit by themselves. But he's also, you know, portraying this character and being a really, really good heel for the baby faces of the company. So, and he even turned Private Party heel. Like he's doing a lot for a lot of people at once. So him wrestling is not an issue because he's still giving so much to these AEW. So he's not, in other words, he's not Jericho right now. He's actually actually the opposite. I think when it comes to the MGF and Jericho fight against the Young Bucks for champs, I think it's going to be the Young Bucks winning because of Sammy shenanigans. He's going to come in and ruin their hopes for the tag team championship and thus, I guess, cementing his babyface turn. But I don't know. That's as far as I got for that match.
All right, so let's go right into the next match, another tag match. I guess this is the big anticipation match that people are waiting for. It's going to be the street fight. Darby and Sting making his in-ring debut for AEW versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in a street fight. I'm really hyped about this match. I think this, out of the whole card, this was probably, minus the main event, this is probably the one that has me most hyped. Just because it's the icon, you know, Sting. He's back in the wrestling ring after that bad fallout with WWE, that bad injury, the bad booking with him. He's back, and he took a powerbomb. We'll get to see what he could actually do now in an actual match. Of all matches, a street fight. At first, I thought this was going to be a cinema match? I don't think so anymore. I think it's going to be an actual match for the fans. And I think they protect Sting a lot. I think Sting gets protected a lot. Like, they're not going to do like crazy bumps on him. He's there. I think he's going to take a lot of
blunt objects. Darby's going to be doing all the crazy bumps.
Oh, yeah. I think Sting takes a lot of blunt objects. Like, you know, he takes the chair shot. He'll probably take a baseball bat. He'll probably take maybe another power bomb here and there. But as far as, you know, big hip spike spots, I think it's going to be Darby doing the brunt of it all. But the winner, I think, will have to be, I'm going to say it's going to be Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. They have to build Brian Cage up to be the monster again. He's kind of taking a back seat with that title, but I want him to get built again to be that monster.
Yeah, I think this builds to a rematch between Darby and Brian Cage. Or maybe, you know, Ricky hijacks it and he goes for Alex. I'll be okay with. I think Brian Cage will get a lot by doing a lot of work on Sting. If he can pull, and the reason we originally thought it was going to be a cinema match, I think everybody thought it was going to be a cinema match. Just easy to protect. It's easier to protect Sting that way. Yep. But when I think about it, I think about that story about when Shawn Michaels came back to WWE in the early 2000s. What was his first match? A street fight. The Triple H.
But that was a hard, that went hard though.
Sean took it a went lot hard. Of yeah, he took a, I mean, it was, you know, Shawn Michaels was younger then.
Yeah.
but he still had that, the career ending back. And so the street fight is how he got back into wrestling and getting his confidence back. So maybe this is something along the lines of something for Sting as well. Like, this is a match he can deliver for sure, and that they can transition for him and hopefully maybe get his confidence back and maybe get some work into him for future matches. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So I think we see Sting through a table. That's all I got to say.
All right. That'd be nice to see. I hope he's safe. I hope he's careful. I hope they're careful with him. He's very fragile right now. But so was Edge. I thought Edge was going to be fragile. And look at him. So I guess wrestlers know their own body more than we do.
But you also have to understand that wrestlers also need to be talked down.
Yeah, like, that's true too.
Didn't that come out recently with Samoa Joe this past week?
Yeah, Samoa Joe. Matt Hardy had to be talked down just a little bit after that. After he took that fall with Sammy. But yeah. Side note, Samoa Joe, I think, is doing a perfect job. I think he's probably one of the best color commentators in the business right now. But yeah, that's for another episode. But yeah, I know he probably wants to get back in the ring, but he needs to be careful too.
Yeah, same. And I think the street fight's a good way to bring it in, because Darby will get stuffed into a body bag and thrown off the Jumbotron and what have you. And he'll just take all of the bad bumps. And end his career at 31.
Yeah.
But I do wish Darby would protect himself a little bit more. But maybe I don't know the ins and outs of those bumps he takes in the body bag. Maybe they're actually pretty safe. Maybe there's Tempur-Pedic lining in there. I don't know.
Well, even Tony's worried about it sometimes, but TK's always worried about him. He even said in an interview, I think he gets worried about Darby sometimes.
Yeah. But hey, but that's part of his thing, and he doesn't compromise. So there you go.
Let's talk about our last two matches, the championship matches. Let's talk about Shida versus Ryu. Ryu? I don't want to be disrespectful. Yeah.
Ryu. It's with a Y.
Yeah, I know. It's Ryu. But
okay.
All right. She impressed me. I did not know too much about her before this eliminator, but she... I wish it was Miko... Itau? What's that her name?
Ito.
Real. Mm. Ito. Ito Maki.
Yeah.
Or,
Maki Ito.
Maki Ito. Okay.
We're probably messing it up. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We're trying here. Let me look it up. Maki Ito. Let's see. Let me bing it real quick.
Or the other one. I was hoping it'd be the other one too. I even called it the one that was in the finals. The one that was in the finals, guy, I can't even think of it on the top of my name. I should have it in my notes somewhere.
This is not helping me find a way to pronounce. But right. now that I see it's, I think it's Maki Aito. I don't know.
Right, anyway. Well, she didn't win. Let's go to the match. Let's get to the match. Rio versus Ryu. Ryu versus Shida. Let's talk about the two people in this actual match. Shida, I think, goes over. I think it's going to be a banger of a match. They're going to bring their hard style. They're going to bring their Yoshi style, the Joshi style. I think it's going to be a really good match. But at the end of the day, I think Shida wins, and I'm going to stand by my word here, and I think we're going to see the person to take that title off of Shida is going to be Britt Baker. But it's going to be a good match, but I'm thinking Shida's going to win this match.
We'll see. I think I'm calling for Shida as well, now that we finally know who it's going to be. I guess it makes sense. You can't have Shida and Nyla again. I mean, those have been the highlights of Shida's reign, those matches, but you can't have it again. I was rooting for Nyla at the end, I said earlier. But when it comes to this match, I think it'll be a superstardom Joshi classic, at least when it comes to what AEW's produced.
Yes. I think it'll be a great match.
And there's not much, I don't know the history between them two, so I can't speak about it. So we'll see what vignettes get put up or what commentary says about the history. But
I hope they do a good vignette. They did one for Shida and her teacher when they were showing Shida as a young girl, you know, in the dojo with the teacher. You know, I forgot her name too. I can't remember her name on top of my head. The one that does the Queen, the We Will Rock You. When they had that match, they had a good little vignette of those two. So I hope they produce one for this match.
Yeah.
But time's running out. The show's in 2 days, so.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I guess next, all that's left to talk about is the main event.
Match.
Yeah. So I did some homework. I saw one of the videos you sent me, and my goodness, I don't know if I want to see that happen for the main event. Like, I legitimately don't know if I want to see that happen. Who are you pulling right now? I was spoilers from earlier, so you go ahead and say it again, I guess.
I think Kenny's gonna go over. It's gonna be a freaking crazy match. Deathmatch enthusiasts are gonna love this match. Of course, it's not gonna be, you know, as brutal as the Japanese ones. You know, they have to take some safety precautions in Florida, I'm guessing. You know, we gotta tone it down a bit for the TV audience. But it's still going to be a great freaking crazy match. And I'm going with Kenny Omega. Moxley's going to... I think this is a way to write Moxley off. You know, he's going to have a baby. Let's be real. I mean, he has to...
Yeah, but he's going to have a baby in like 5 months. He's still got...
We don't know when she got pregnant.
I guess. I don't know. It's... Oh, actually, we do. She's... I think at 4 months right now. I see. I also listen to her podcast, Oral Sessions with Renee Packett. So she's at 4 months right now. So we do know. So he's got like 5 months left. So it's a good way to write him off if they're going to do that. But I think it's so he can go work with New Japan for a little bit.
Oh, okay. I hope so, because we got to see some matches. I mean, they're a bit. He had a great match with Kenta. He says he wants to work with Tanahashi, who's basically a legend in New Japan. Tanahashi said he wants to work with Moxley, so I hope we get those two together. And I hope it, you know, they do something with the never weight and the open weight. There we go, the open weight and that's one of those. They have so many titles. Tanahashi has a title, Moxley has a title. Let's do title for title.
Oh, so Kenta lost? Didn't they just have that match recently?
Yeah, Kenta lost the match. Moxley's still the IWGP Championship.
I think I called that, right? Did I say that?
Yeah, you called that. I thought it was going the other way. But who do you have in this match?
I have Kenny as well. There's just too many people Kenny still needs to face in this run to make it that much memorable. So I still think he needs to face Paige in the future. And for the belt, it just makes it that much better than just a titleless feud. So, and there's other people like Darby. If he loses, he doesn't even need to lose the belt. Maybe even Sting. I don't know.
That'd be a good dream match. Sting, we'll see how he does in this match, but that'd be a good one.
But I think Kenny holds himself to a higher standard when it comes to what he wants to give as a match. So I think Sting won't be able to deliver what Kenny can deliver currently, and I don't think Kenny wants to deal with that right now. Oh, we never know. Maybe Brian Cage, but I think they're going to build up to Lance Archer and Kenny pretty soon.
Okay. I hope we see that too. Lance is a good one. Pac, we still need to see that rematch with Pac also.
Pac is cool. Right. I'm not over with Pac currently still.
Right, well, Revolution is on Sunday. Usually on Saturday, but they moved it to Sunday. I'm guessing because of the UFC card that's going to be on Saturday, which is a blockbuster of a card. I'm glad it's on Sunday because I won't be able to watch it. It was on Saturday. But anyway, regardless, now it comes to our spot of the week. What do you have this week, sir?
It was actually a pretty hard week to choose a spot. There's a lot of stuff that popped into my mind. There's a Cesaro swing on Seth Rollins where his jacket flew into the rafters. There's the coup de grace on a strong from a standing position. That was beautiful.
That was nice. Talk about NXT, but that was a beautiful
spot. Mm-hmm. And it's only match I got to see, unfortunately. And we also got, you know, Cody yeeting himself into Shaq and then falling into double tables. That was pretty crazy. I was like, oh my God, he's on Eskimo mode. Like, I legit thought it was crazy. So I'm gonna have to just say that Shaq going through two tables and getting pulled out on a stretcher. That's my spot of the week.
All right.
What about you?
My spot of the week is from the same match. I mean, like you said, it was a lot of good stuff happening this week. I'm going to go also, the runner-ups, I guess, would have to be from the New Japan show. From the New Japan show, the two runner-ups was Tomohiro Ishii versus Jay White. Their little closing segment to that match, closing sequence, Jay White reversing, Ishii reversing, and then Jay White finally hitting the Blade Runner. Great. Another one was Kota Ibushi and Naito. When Kota Ibushi hit his knee to Naito, I mean, if you watch this match, it was like a freaking 30-minute just them going at it. And Kota, the way he lands on Naito, is just, he was a dead fish, just tired from the brutality. And he was just like, let me just hopefully get the 3 count. So that was nice to see. But my actual spot of the week is going to be Jade when she caught Velvet Sky from the turnbuckle, turned it into a fallaway slam, and did a kick up. Only because we didn't know what to expect from Jade. We didn't know what she was going to bring to the table, and she brought it. She brought a superstar feel. She bought everything. And that was a really well done sequence from her, for being so new to the table to deliver that sequence. So I'm calling that's my spot of the week.
All right. And I think a lot of people doubted Jade, to be honest. And I've been on board with Jade since that promo. So it was nice to see her put in the work, and I think it went over well for her.
Definitely. And I'm excited to see where she goes with it. I hope she kicks up the momentum, keeps it up. She's going to go learning along the way, and she'll figure out what kind of wrestler she wants to be. How does she connect with the fans and all that?
Hopefully she gets a storyline.
And another storyline, right? Since, Brandy can't do it, Velvet can't do it, maybe she'll go against Sheeta. Well, we won't know.
Oh, I don't know. So I don't know.
That's too soon for her. But
maybe.
But like I said, the Revolution this week, guys, let's get to the ball. If you want to follow us, it's going to be Twitter, Instagram, Wrestling with the Weasel. Follow us, ask us questions, give us a like. Hit that follow button on iTunes. Hit that follow button on Spotify. Wherever you listen to your podcast, we're always open to questions, suggestions. Want us to watch a match? We'll watch a match. Just get at us. Any last word before we sign out here?
Just don't follow us in real life. That's kind of weird. But if you do, just at least stay pretty far away. That's about it.
6 feet away. 6 feet away at least.
Yeah, maybe 60. I don't know. We'll see.
Weasel up.
River out.